We're live.
We have a quorum. Let's call our meeting to order, please. Happy Thanksgiving. Early. Eve. Public comment period. Do you want to... Ernie? It's you or nobody.
Well, I just wanted to introduce myself. Does the public stand up here?
Yes.
Can you hear me now? I'm Ernie Hull with MoralBay.com, and about 10 years ago, I asked Johnny Biagini to sign up with my first corporation to build their Slow VCB website, and that's how when I started talking to Ed about a week ago, he and I just were able to bring two worlds together. I started sent to MoralBay.com and MoralBay.org sites because I was just looking at your hit reports and your positioning on Google, and you're definitely the first thing that we see when we come in to if you type Moral Bay in Google, you see the MoralBay.org, and then you see a few other sites. Of course, we're on there. We're very large for real estate and hotels, and that's really what we're focusing on in the town is the real estate and the travel simultaneously. And what's interesting is that real estate also, when people are looking to buy real estate here, they're also looking to travel here. So it's kind of a nice symbiosis between the two. I just wanted to introduce myself, let you know that I'm going to be spending more time in Morro Bay. I've got appointments with all the hotels coming up. Ed and I are going to be chatting. Peter and I have introduced ourselves. And I just wanted to say hi and the benefit of Morro Bay and the more business we can bring to Morro Bay, the better off I am too. So it's a win-win relationship. The more I can do for this city and the town, the more my assets appreciate. So there is a win-win symbiosis here. And one more thing, folks, is my wife and I really do appreciate some of the philosophies. I don't know if everyone really appreciates the philosophies of this town, but I sure do. And I know that there's a there's a part in my heart, a soft spot in my heart for this town. So I also have PismoBeach.com, and they're a little bit harder and tougher over there, and they're not as friendly, I'll be honest with you. And so I'm starting to really feel like I want to spend some more time in Morro Bay and growing this community, because to be honest, they're doing both about the same amount of traffic, about 700 visitors a day. And I think MoralBay.com, because of its unique position, you have access to all the you can hike the hill, you can go to the golf course, you've got the harbor. There's so many neat things about Morro Bay. If we just get the word out there, and when I say get the word out there, I mean promote Morro Bay in other cities. Why not promote Morro Bay when people are looking for Pismo Beach? Promote Morro Bay when people are looking for Cambria or San Simeon or San Luis Obispo even. That's one way to get more people to come to us or more people to be interested in Morro Bay. Type in Morro Bay in Google. So there's that factor. Then there's, of course, converting those 700 or 1,400 a day that we're getting in right now, converting those into real customers, converting those into sales for the hotels and for the restaurants and stuff like that. So that's kind of where I am. If I can help out in any way, please let me know.
Thank you, Ernie. We appreciate it. And I'm sure that we're, with you being kind of like back in touch, we're going to figure out a way to hook up and tie some things together with any luck.
Festival, which most of you know about. I bought our new brochure. Bird Festival, this is our 11th year. And it started out as a joint effort between the Chamber of Commerce and the Audubon Society, the state parks, and the museum as a way to bring people here in January, which coincidentally happened to be when all the birds came, so it worked out very well. There's over 200 species of birds that show up here every January, and so that's a real good focus for our bird watchers. It's a small organization, and I know several times we've had people say, oh, we could make this bigger, it could be wonderful, it could be thousands of people, and we can't. And there's very good reasons why we can't. It's entirely volunteer-run except for four people. We have four paid positions. That's our registrar, who has a tremendous amount of work just getting all of the programs organized for the registrants. We have our publicity person. We have our technical person, started just last year. and we have me, the coordinator. So other than that, it's all volunteers from Audubon and from other support organizations, state parks, the museum, the chamber, when they have someone, and that's been a real problem, getting somebody who had the time. So, and that's also the problem with several of our other small supporting organizations. So that's one of our reasons for being happy with the 500 people that we bring to town every year. That is pretty much our capacity. If you look through our brochure, we have 100 programs, and here's the other catch to all of this. The programs, almost all, are led by volunteers, local birders who do this, and we pretty well have used them all up. We are employing, so to speak, all of the local birders in our festival every year. So to increase the size of it, to increase the capacity, we would have to bring people in from out of the area, which is not productive, number one, because they're not familiar with the area and the best birding spots, and number two, because it costs us money. Right now, we don't have to pay any of these people. They do it all on a volunteer basis. So the only ones that we do pay are our featured guest speakers. And that's another reason we can't grow too much, because our featured guest speakers, who are very prominent in the birding world and very respected, and we have them speak at the Morro Bay High School, which is nice. You know, it's a lovely school auditorium, but it's not exactly the kind of place that we would like to bring the high end. So that's when we moved to the high school 2 years ago now. So anyway, that's a little bit about who we are, what we are. Again, it is all volunteer run, so to expand it puts a real strain on both our resources in leaders and our resources in organization. So what we have decided is that we're going to be a very exclusive and rather small, not a lot of bird festivals are about our size, but there are some that are huge. But we decided that we would rather be small, exclusive, and excellent. And that's the reputation we have in the birding world, that we are an excellent festival. We have top drawer organization, we have top drawer speakers, and that's something that has made us very popular. We went online with our registration last year for the first time, and 80% of our registration was online. It was that fast, and a lot of the programs filled up within 2 days. So that's how popular we are. That's kind of the niche that we appreciate being in. We like being a little bit exclusive. We like it being someplace that people have to say, oh, if I want to go to that one, I got to get my registration in real quick because that's popular. So it's we're happy with that. It's what we can handle. It's what our volunteers can handle. And we're very proud of the quality of the festival that we offer. It has done everything that those original founders wanted it to do. It brings a lot of people here every January. A lot of the birders bring their spouses who aren't birders necessarily, and they do other things. They go shopping, they go to the movies, they just enjoy the area. So it's been a boon for all of us. It's certainly something that the festival organizers are very proud of and have every intention of continuing in the same vein. So just want to give you a little bit of input on that and tell you if you'd like to come. Here's your brochure and sign up. We also have our vendor fair. Last year we started something new too. We have the Zoo to You group to come. And in this room on Saturday, open to the public, we will have a whole group of raptors, owls, hawks, eagles. And they actually flew across the room. It's quite impressive. The kids all sat up here in front and got to be up close and personal with the birds. And when they flew, it was like, ooh, it was great. And it's a wonderful way to introduce them to birding. And also the fact that our mission statement is to increase education about ecotourism and birding in particular, but wildlife in general. And we do offer some other venues on the elephant seals. We go up to Hearst Castle to see the bats. That's one of our exclusive.
Do you know what, you have any idea percentage-wise of how many of your registrants come from out of the county versus within the county?
We do have those records. I don't have them with me, but we get a number of people from the California, Oregon, and Arizona areas. So we'll get quite a few. I would say within the county, maybe 25%. So most of it is drawn from without. And originally, that was our big push. We tried to draw people in from out of the area, and then we realized, hey, we're missing the people right next door, and that's kind of silly. So our vendor fair is open to the public as a way of getting people acquainted with the festival. The Zoo to You is open to the public. You don't have to register for the festival to attend either of those things. And we're going to be at the street fair. We'll have a booth at the street fair the Sunday after Thanksgiving. We have sweatshirts and T-shirts and information about the festival, again, to acquaint local people with it. But we draw from as far away as the East Coast. We get people that come in from New Jersey. So it's very well known in the birding world, and we're proud of that reputation.
You know, the promotions committee hasn't done a tremendous amount of push to bring people for the bird festival. However, we do have taken out ads in Audubon and right. Birders World and those kinds of things. Do you see that as a value to the bird festival itself? Because we're promoting birding in general, mm-hmm. and then of course why not mention the festival
sure.
in the process?
Absolutely.
But we haven't really focused, I don't think, exactly on the festival, mm-hmm. and part of the reason is what you're stating, the limited capacity
right.
Of the festival. But as you become more elite, so to speak, do you see raising your fees to register as you become more in demand? I mean, if it would work similar to a lot of other, you know, venues and events, where the more popular you are, the more you can, you know, command mm-hmm. a higher price and then provide even better stuff. So I was just curious.
We have started doing that the last 2 years. We've realized that we can't really get the kind of guest speakers that we want for a couple $100 honorarium. So we are now bringing people in from other areas and paying for their airfare and lodging. And what we've done, we used to offer that evening speaker program for free as part of the registration. Now we are charging for that to accommodate bringing in some higher-end people, more expensive people, actually, just because of where they live and having to put them up. So as far as advertising, it's an odd thing. Because the festival, the brochure comes out in October, rest in interest, so that they all get advance notice of when the brochure is going to come out. We still do mail them, but I can see that, you know, dropping off each year, fewer and fewer, because everybody's going online.
Do you, I'm sure there's some other questions, but John, we've pretty much focused our ads in, I believe, November, December.
Mm-hmm.
Should we tie it in, try to coordinate it in the future, more towards when your brochure hits the streets?
Our brochure comes out first week in October, so if you want to draw people for the festival, yeah, that if you time it for an early October or late September advertising, that would be good. And one thing we do, our website connects to the chamber, and we're perfectly happy to have that connection and have motels and hotels and restaurants promote themselves through the chamber and onto our website. Because people do ask, and we always have the chamber list of restaurants. We have that at our registration tables. We send it out. We send the restaurant and motel list out with a brochure. But the people that are online are having to get that by linking rather than having it in their hand. So we're happy to promote the area and the businesses in the area. That's part of the deal, and we want to do that. So,
could I add one thing? One of the things, and I think we probably presented this when we came to the council with our overview of our mm-hmm. plan, but one thing I'm sort of excited about is the we're going to run in Sierra Magazine, the Sierra Club mm-hmm. magazine. They have a special bird festival section that's going to hit. It's going to hit in that later period, but
uh-huh.
one of the things that was exciting, and maybe I can coordinate with your publicity people, but when I talked with Sierra Magazine, they were interested in maybe covering it, so we get some
Ooh,
coverage after the fact.
That'd be wonderful.
So we don't
yeah.
really need it as much before, since you're going to be sold out anyway, but just,
right.
you know, they'll talk more about Morro Bay and as a birding destination.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be an opportunity, because I know when I talked to them, they were very familiar with Morro Bay. I think mm-hmm. Sierra, you know, the
sure.
Sierra Club and Sierra Magazine, it's a pretty good fit, I think.
Yeah, unfortunately, because of our timing, most festivals are not in the middle of winter. We're unique in that. So most of the advertising is all aimed at, you know, spring for summer festivals and such.
Right.
So we're kind of an odd duck, so to speak, in that respect. But it hasn't hurt us. We've been able to draw a lot of people. So, and Katie Budge is our publicity
okay.
person, so I can put her in touch with you.
Great.
Okay.
I was just going to, if I could add one other thing. I mean, maybe as far as the, and I know it gets pretty labor intensive, but with the success of it being in January, maybe if the birds are here, maybe think of a second.
So this seems to be the best approach right now. Certainly that would be something that would be interesting to explore. I don't know if we could handle it. Plus, part of the reason for establishing it in January, it happened to work out that that's when the birds are here, but because tourism is down in
right.
January. And so it's a big draw then to do something in the middle of summer when we already have a large influx of tourists may not be as productive for the city.
Any other questions?
Well, in looking for venues for lectures, as I look through the book, whether it's the high school's mentioned occasionally, but during the day, everything else seems, you know, you've got plenty of stuff
yes.
going on in lots of
yes.
other places. Anyone looked at the daytime use of the Bay Theater?
Yes.
And?
We have. We don't need anything in the daytime. We need it in the evening. And we didn't feel that we could pay them enough to close down the theater for two nights. So, but we have looked into that. Yeah.
Well, and the other question I have is, well, I know that you're, you know, looking to keep the festival where it is. I also look at the TOT in January has always been the lowest month. And my question is, even with all the influx of people, and even if it becomes more exclusive, I don't know if it means the hoteliers can charge more because it's becoming more exclusive, but it still turns out to be the lowest thing with the lowest occupancy rate. So the question is, are these people camping?
Some of them are, yes. When the state park closed, we had a lot of people. I think that year probably the motels and hotels saw more people there. But because a lot of these people are very ecotourist-oriented, they are staying at the state parks and campgrounds. Some of our speakers even do that. And a lot of our speakers and leaders we will house in local homes because we're providing that lodging for them. The people who are coming to the festival obviously are having to stay elsewhere. But I know that the RV parks do fill up a little bit more, perhaps, than the hotels.
But David, what you have to understand is that that is a very busy weekend here in Morro Bay. It's the Monday through Thursday before and the Monday through Thursday after that drives January down. We don't get the midweek business. So the weekends, especially the three-dayers, that three-dayer is very, very busy, and a lot of it's due to the Bird Festival. And the neat thing about an event like that is that while you may be busy because of people traveling, there's nothing like having reservations ahead of time, and that's what you get with these events and festivals is you get people, you know, the events in demand, so you get people wanting to book early to make sure they have a room. And so that's the value to us, to the business people, of Gary.
You don't have all the famous guest speakers. There are still docents. There are still
yes.
people from the museum around that extends the event and keeps the momentum for it going, that the birds just didn't all come from the 15th, 16th, and 17th and then decide to leave. How can buzz be created that it's, or maybe we declare it, not just Bird Festival weekend, but birding month in Morro Bay so that that can be extended longer?
That's a very legitimate idea because there are so many species of birds here. It is just a haven for bird watchers during that month. And certainly you could, and you're right, the museum has programs year-round and has a lot of very good docents. They're some of our trip leaders. So that's a very good idea to promote it for the whole month. I think that's
maybe
terrific.
Well, the mayor, maybe we have to have a resolution to declare Bird Month in January.
It's Bird Month.
There's Birding Month in Morro Bay. I mean,
it's an easy month.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah.
Anything else? Thank you very,
Thank you.
Very much.
Thank you.
I'm glad you came. Thank you. Heather?
I have a public comment.
Okay.
Can I make that now?
I don't know why you can't. Now that
Do I have to go stand over there? I just wanted to let everyone on the Promotions Committee know, as well as the community, that the Celebrate Morro Bay Parade has been moved to April 28th in conjunction with the Kite Festival. We really felt like the parade had happened in February for the last few years and rained the last couple of years, and we really wanted to tie it into something that was a little bit more substantial. And with the coming of the Kite Festival, we really felt like it was a very good hook. So it is going to be the 28th at 10 o'clock, April 28th, that is.
What part of rain on your parade don't you understand? And now you're moving it to the Kite Festival. You're dragging your rain with you, clearing
April. Hopefully it won't rain.
I'm kidding.
I don't feel like it's going to be a rainy year. I've noticed a pattern when you have a hot, sunny summer.
the last 6 years. It's not been followed by the rainiest of winters. It was the gray, foggy summers that tended
to be. So you do meteorology, too?
Well, also, John, I just mentioned about the Bird Festival follow-up. I went to the website this morning, and on the January calendar, I didn't see it listed as one of the events yet.
It should be there. I don't know why it isn't. Maybe it's because of the rework, but I'll check that out.
Yeah.
Great. Did you have something, just the one subject then? Okay. Wow. Okay. Approval of minutes?
But we'll cover it all. The notes just stated program. So I'll move that we accept the minutes as written for the October 19th meeting.
The one comment that I have is...
Can you second that?
Do I?
Yeah.
Not yet.
Does someone? Then we can talk about it.
Okay.
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. Heather?
Okay. I had brought up the idea of a city logo, and I was under the impression that that was going to be moved to declaration of future agenda items, and it didn't get agendized, so I'm not sure... I guess we need to move that to next month's meeting and declare it a future agenda item during that portion.
Well, if we have time under discussion and new ideas, you can discuss it.
Okay,
because
that sounds
great. Because it's a new idea. And then if we need to take action of some kind, I'm guessing that we can agendize it for another for a future item.
Perfect.
Is that all right with you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A comment for the subcommittee report, although I was absent last month. I did send it to Ed and Ed. And did you print it and distribute it, or... Was it just, you got it? Okay.
I think it was it was emailed to everybody,
okay.
And we did go over it, yes.
Okay, good. Okay, I just didn't know that you got it. I didn't get a response. Okay, great.
Okay, any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Great. Visitor Center report. Mr. Candela.
Good morning, everyone. A lot of things today, actually. Let's go over just some of the things that had happened. InfraBoard Systems, that they take care of the visitor center's board at the mobile station as well as the one at 845 Embarcadero right by the bay. They actually repainted it, refurbished some of the weather material. And I had a chance to talk to Joe. He had mentioned to me that they are actually putting in a video or a DVD player installed, ready to go, actually, within the next week. They're looking for a DVD of ours to put in that DVD player to put into a loop. So I'm kind of throwing that out there. If we can do that, they're willing to plug it in and get it started within a week to 10 days.
Sure.
And then they fixed the phone, so now the visitors can come and pick up the phone and actually get a reservation there, too.
I got to make a note so I get a discount for what I pay because the phone hasn't been working?
I think they have already addressed that issue. Check it out now. I was pouring water on it last time I was there to see if it was waterproof, and it looked like it was actually working pretty well. Let's see. I think that's the two for InfraBoard. Systems, so we're really looking, and there's a lot of activities. I was actually surprised because we filled that infra board at the mobile station. We check it at least once or twice a week, and I find that we're putting in a lot of the materials over and over again, which is, I think, is shows that what we were trying to do is alleviate. If remember, there were some extra phone calls to the police department regarding late calls on Fridays looking for hotels, and they were getting bogged down with phone calls from that. So when we had a discussion about it, we decided, well, let's refer everything over to this mobile station, and it seems to be working because they're pulling those brochures out. So that's a good thing. Also, the trade show booth, if you remember, we had some difficulties with the display booth itself. I did send it over to Skyline, and we discovered that it was under a lifetime warranty, so the cost, the major cost, was just getting it there and back, you know, just the freight, basically. So it is in our office now. Actually, we're going to put it up tonight with the help of Ed in the anniversary dinner that is going to be held tonight at 6:30. The other item we discussed last meeting was actually the graphics that go on the trade booth. It was the picture that we had displayed in the back. There was a hole that was discovered on the center top level of that display picture. To replace that picture itself typically costs $520. He's willing to discount it to $420. That's to change it altogether. There is a good possibility that we can repair it in a fashion that is acceptable for about $175. But we have to physically get it down there, and he's going to take care of it, which is something that we may do anyway, just to get that option.
One of the things that strikes me, and we were just talking about the billboard earlier before the meeting started, the new billboard, and John, you said the vinyl for that billboard, which is 14 by 40, was $500 and some for the vinyl artwork. 14 by 40. Here, a 4 by 5 that you put on a bill is going to cost $420. You know, I'm just throwing that out thinking, wait a minute. Maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
I think
so too. I mean, either we have to clean it up or replace it, you know, for that. Sure, there's going to be 20,000 people coming through our booth, so.
So you're talking about the pictures that are on the back of the display? Is that what we're...
Well, remember last month we had it hanging behind me, and there was a tear at the top. That's what we're repairing. I think Ed is... You're saying that we may need to revamp the whole picture idea, because
right.
Some of them are a little... Right. Okay, so, I mean, the options are...
Yes, it's not the booth itself. It's the display
right.
Pictures on the
yeah,
booth.
I would kind of think that probably with that price there, you could almost do the whole thing over. I mean, that's probably what they're going to have to do. Is that's how they're repairing it, basically. They're going to do a new...
Well, no. I mean, they're talking about either fixing the tear and saving and keeping what we've got, or the $400 and some
right,
is a quote for redoing the whole thing.
Right.
Right.
Well, it's for the one picture, right?
It's not one picture, though. It's a collage.
So you're talking about the whole back for $425.
That's correct. That's correct. All of the superimposed pictures, I guess, we have on the side. And either the option is fine with the chamber. It's as long as we have something, you know, that looks really presentable. Sure.
You want to look at it again?
I think that, you know, I guess one way to rationalize it is that all the work that you thought you might have to do is covered under warranty, and this is just for the image. You know, it seems like that would be money well spent to refresh that board. We've got a lot of good photography now, too. You got a lot of good use out of that board for, you know, what you had. It's probably... You know, we're changing the billboard. It's probably time to change the display.
Yeah, hasn't it been 10 years or close?
No, not that long.
Has it been?
Probably at least 6 or 7 years, because okay. I know we did it. So it would have been within an 8-year period.
Did you use Spectrum to do it?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. I think it's been like 4 years since we replaced that, because I went through that whole process and went down to Spectrum.
Yeah, it's
and
about
everything.
That, I think.
Yeah, but I think that was part of our whole planning, was that we could change that back out really easily whenever we wanted to and give it a fresh look, but it would still have all the bones, and we could probably still keep even the Morro Bay with that blue sky background. It's like blue and red or something. So we would just have to replace just the photo.
We'll get it put up tonight, get some pictures of it, bring some pictures so we won't have to set it up here.
Good.
Maybe we get some pictures tonight, and then we could put them up on the screen next month, bring the actual fabric thing, hang it back, or not fabric, but the foam back. It's kind of like a foam back vinyl Velcro thing.
Right.
Much
yeah.
Now. I mean, that vinyl only took about a week to have done, which is just, I mean, I remember the last time, whatever time we did the billboard, it was like a month.
Yeah, it's surprising. You would think it'd take longer.
The technology is such now that it's just not.
So could we maybe go ahead and put on the agenda for next month? How do you want to do it? Yep, I guess something like that.
Well, do you want do you want me to do any design work in the meantime to bring some designs to that meeting?
That would be great, and we might as well try to speed it up.
And I can coordinate with Peter on
you bet.
You know, kind of what the gist
yeah,
of it.
Let's do that. That was
if anybody wants
expedited.
To email me their suggestions too, as far as pictures, that would be helpful.
Okay,
you gotta connect it with the billboard. I mean, I think it's a great idea.
I think having the photograph. I personally think it also should be a little bigger. On the board, because it doesn't. I mean, the board's, you know, 8 by 10. The booth is 8 by 10,
right.
And the picture on it is much smaller. We have more area, but I think that to use that we're not utilizing, maybe, we take some pictures tonight, and then we'll have them, and then maybe we could email one down to John, and then we could just scale.
Absolutely. I think we can really expedite this thing if we do it that way. Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Did you have something, Ann?
Yes, I do. Would it be possible for members of the board who aren't going to be at the meeting or the dinner tonight to come by at some point and see it set up?
You mean at the dinner?
I don't think they'd throw you out if you just wanted to go and look at the booth.
It's certainly up to you. I mean, I don't see any problem with that. It's going to be pretty it's pretty crazy in there trying to get 100 plus people in sitting down. And you mean just have to check it out? Any other questions regarding that? I guess we're okay with it. The report is pretty self-explanatory. I don't know if there's any questions that you have. I have some other things I want to go over, but you can see comparing last year's to this year's, the phone calls actually increased. The website sessions actually increased, but the total visitors actually decreased by a small amount.
And then 4 feet above the roof line to now, it's almost 10 feet above the roof line, and added an additional 6 foot to the pole. But we discovered last Saturday that we had a problem with the webcam. So I've been working with the webcam and working with Charter to get over there, and I think it's an IP address problem. But it's right now the webcam is sitting on my desk. So I'm trying to address that problem and get to that as quickly as I can. So I just apologize for the inconvenience of that, but there is something with the IP address.
Is it working or not working?
Right now it is not working. Okay. It has been working very well up to this point. So, we have monitored it many times during the week, and I send a link to my family constantly, and they check it out because they're all on the East Coast pretty much. So I always rub my nose and tell them where I live. So, it's in process. I'm trying to schedule an appointment with Charter to come down and help me with this problem, and it seems to be working fine at my desk, but when I bring it down to the visitor center, it doesn't quite seem to work and connect to the IP address.
So if we click on it right now, we can see how messy your desk is?
Yeah, actually, yeah. No, actually, it's not hooked up that way. Anyway, we are working on it, and we apologize for the inconvenience of that. But the pole, extending the pole additional 6 feet higher in the air gives us better views of more the Embarcadero than the bay. I mean, the bay, we get the shots of the bay, but I can get a better shot of the kite shop, I can get a better shot of Hofbräu, I can get a better shot of the walkway in the boatyard area. So we can do more with the presets as far as, preset spots where we can take a look where the camera goes. So anyway, that's what the additional 6 foot bought us, so.
We've had actually a number of comments. It's like a new camera, a refresh, extending it 6 feet up. It's all new views. So we have regulars that go onto that camera site, and they now it's like a whole new event for them, because really what Bob said is just amazing how far you can see.
Well, you should have teased him then, only race it a foot at a time.
Foot at a time. Slowly inch the camera up just to confuse them. Anyway, thank you so much.
Thanks, Bob.
That works. So I guess the most important item as far as the websites go is the sessions. That's when they actually spend time and review what's on our website. And you can see it's actually increased substantially. See a few people, if they can, Monday, Tuesday, Friday are the dates. Now we do have somebody coming down on Wednesday, finally. And if you can devote just 2 hours, it would be great. 2 to 4 would be wonderful. And it's kind of the mid-range day. That we really need the help from 10 to 2 or 11 to 1 or something like that. That's the time that we really need it.
Okay.
Couple of things about the chamber. As I mentioned before, the anniversary dinner is the 50th year that the chamber has been in existence. Pretty exciting events, our golden event. A lot of things happening there tonight. If you didn't buy a ticket to attend, you're going to miss something special. This is it's done, I think, very, very well. The menu is great. Looking forward to that. And if you've noticed that on Morro Bay Boulevard and Main Street, the lights on at Christmas trees, the regular trees, the trunks of the trees have been changed with the help of Ed and Jerry and Morro Bay Beautiful. I guess it's Gary and Nancy. We had John Weiss, the president, myself, go out and actually pull the old ones down, put the new ones on, and it actually went pretty well, didn't it, Ed? I mean, it was pretty smooth. I think we have some lighting problem that Frank Cunningham is working on right now. It has to do with the timers. They're not all coming on at the same time, but when they are on, has anyone seen that? I mean, it's really.
I tried to this morning at 5:30 when it was still dark, so they must have them timed to go off because none of them were lit this morning.
No, they're supposed to go on, I believe, between 4:30 and 10 or 10:30 in the evening. But when they're on, it's you really want to be out there walking on the streets. I mean, it's really. It's what I remembered about 4 or 5 years ago, walking down the streets and just feeling kind of cozy, I guess. It's a small town feel, but it really, really works for me anyway. So anyway, we were able to get those up. I think it's a great addition. We have the Lighted Boat Parade coming up December 2nd. Again, the Lady Washington will be our lead vessel. And I believe they will be bringing some people aboard for that. So I think it's first come, first serve on that. But we are still looking for sponsors to sponsor that event. For any information other than what I'm giving you now, you can call the chamber at 772-4467 and speak to myself or Susie. Susie Schultz is the specialist in our events.
The money this month, both in on the website and our general advertising
budget.
You want to go over this a little bit with us, John?
Sure. This was just to kind of remind everybody, this was an effort to kind of have a little bit more updated look at what we're currently spending, because the way the accounting works, we collect all of the bills for the previous month. And by the time we get those bills, and by the time they're all assessed and we make sure that everything ran correctly and then the city gets it, we're delayed usually around 60 days, sometimes even could even be longer. So this is more of a kind of an up-to-date look, at least at what we've billed thus far. And as you see, we're starting to get into our activity now. We've spent a total of $27,000. We've run some things in Focus on Living, Imagine Magazine, which is over in Fresno, LA Times, you saw the Sunset starting to fulfill some Sunset ads, and the Slo County Visitor's Guide. These Birders World will be for December. The Travel 50 and Beyond, which again you're starting to see some fulfillment done for that. And then Sierra Magazine is actually, that would be billed soon, because that's going to be in January. So it should actually, it'll come out in December. It says January insertion. And as Ed mentioned, there's some web activity. I have a feeling that some of this artwork and production design, I'll have to look at that closer, because that's probably going to need to be moved into like the press kit folders, and need to get into more depth to find it, or to distribute that. But I can do that between now and the next month. The press video DVD, that's predominantly for the duplication. And then some public relations efforts. We mentioned that we'd sent out our first kind of assault of press kits, and nothing thus far with the county CVB. That all starts here pretty soon. And then one of the things that I was going to talk about with the television, we were originally going to run that more in the late fall, but with politicals, I think I discussed that the other last meeting, that it's just not a very good time to run, so we're going to look at that. But I have a suggestion for maybe how we could utilize some of those dollars, or possibly use some money out of the fire sale, but I'll cover that in my agency report.
The one of the things that concerns me is why the we don't tie in with the city's budget. As far, we're $10,000 difference. We have a total budget of 137. Let's add that to the 137. So I'm wondering if maybe you need to take a look to see, you know,
Okay.
What's wrong with this picture? Because the numbers don't jive.
Well, I think the original, okay, I'll just go back and check that.
And so at this number, this 147, is that the total amount the city gives us? That doesn't represent the amount less what the visitor center is given?
Right.
Okay.
That's strictly promotions committee.
Okay.
The visitor center has its own contract.
Okay.
That portion that's in the visitor center portion of our budget are reimbursables.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And I guess that's on the agenda too, so. Anything else on the, just to kind of let you know, you have a copy of the transient occupancy report current. Through the month of September, again, we're seeing while the occupancy rate is a little bit less than last year, not quite as bad as some months have been, total tax collected is up around 7 to 8% over last year. So that's good news. So we see that number keep rising. Maybe I can get a report from finance. I forget what they actually budgeted, because that's the key is yes, we're doing better than last year, but where are we with regards to what the city planned on us having? So maybe I'll find some information about that for you for our next meeting. Anything else on the bucket? Well, John, it's your turn again.
Okay. I'll go over quickly some web stats. I know Peter did that as well, but I've got a little bit more detailed picture of that. And as you can see, this shows the activity up to November 12th and kind of gives you a capsule of starting for kind of a look at the month, kind of the ups and downs. As far as the yearly starting in January, you can see that it's pretty common. This is a pretty typical look. We get a lot more active in the summertime, a lot more people going to the website, and then start falling off a little bit into the fall. But we're still holding at around 13,000 user sessions, as well as we had 62 signups for the email newsletter. And that's basically just people coming to the website and seeing that. We haven't done a real effort.
Can you clarify that?
Well, it's probably just a term, but it's basically, that's where people, it's page views. So those are the people that actually went to those pages.
Okay.
So when they went to the website, at the home page, they went from there to lodging.
Okay.
So probably should say page views, probably even a more appropriate term.
Okay. And then either one of those two?
Right.
Then, okay.
But it is basically when somebody's gone to the site, they've gone, probably started on the home page, and then they went immediately to lodging.
Okay.
And the second page shows where the referrals are coming, and this, again, tends to be good news relative to the support of the advertising, because we have 54%, or actually if you look at the bottom with keywords, we have 62% coming in, which means that they're going to www.morrobay.org, and then another 16% who have just typed in Morro Bay. So that kind of gives you an idea. And Google tends to be the top search engine, which is no surprise. And we're optimized very well on Google. I think when you go to Google, we're usually in the top, you know, the first position without having to buy pay-per-clicks, so, which is a good thing, too, as far as saving money. You can kind of see some of the other searches. The Wahoo's underneath that, or Yahoo and MSN, and then goes down to people looking for Hearst Castle information. Any other questions about that? It probably would be timely now at this point to kind of show you a picture of the new website.
By the way, this report's great, just like this, I think. I mean, I don't know, Billy might have something to say about it, but to me, this is, it's short, it's, you know,
well, I've actually
good
got
graphs, and with your explanation, I think it's terrific.
The nice thing is, too, that I've had one of my staff trained to do this now, so I don't have to get it from Jeremy the night before. So.
Good.
But I'll just kind of take you through briefly where we're at with the site is that we're pretty much ready to go. What we want to do is we'll have Billy take one more look at it. We'll take your input today, and we want to check the database one more time, but within the next couple of days, we should be able to switch over to the site and go to this one. And as you can see, it's you've seen little bits and pieces of this as we've gone along, but right now, you have your, we're going to eliminate the flash for right now, just because we want to gear them more down to the buttons. That's not to say we wouldn't go back and do flash later on. Page, and these would change out. And as you can see, we're talking about with the lighted boat parade, that's the first icon. And then if you go to the side, you can, you still have the ability to watch the DVD if you want to click on that. It's probably the top one, I think. It may not be live right now. So that's how they would be able to do that. If you want to go to plan a trip. So here you've got a choice on how you'd want to plan your trip. If you want to, you want to choose an itinerary, you want an activity planner, you want to search accommodations, you want to plan your meals. So this is going to, this is why the probably the most tricky part of this is the database, because we want all those things to take them to the right place. And that's, we're close to being there as far as that. If you want to pick on choose an itinerary. And here you have, you know, basically you can have your choice of a family adventure, a romantic getaway. If you're a nature enthusiast, you have a family, kids fun, wine adventure, or an active vacation. So what we're really doing is we're giving people an opportunity to really discover Morro Bay and plan their trip utilizing the website. If you want to go to activities, up at the top bar.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So then we have a list of activities. This right here is a, you can see that we're linked to the county site. Then you can search activities, whether you want to do art galleries, bike rentals, sport fishing. So you have your activity planner through that. And I guess go to video and film. I think this one's going to be real important for us, because what we found through through the press, and also I think this is also true like of, say, NTA tour operators, whatever it might be, people don't want you to send them information anymore. More and more it's just saying, you know, just tell me what your website is and I'll download it there. And I think that's really what's going to be key for our press opportunities. And we're still going to send out, make our efforts to send out material, but this is the way, you know, people are getting fulfilled. And that whether they want to shoot a film, a movie here, or whether they want some press information. So you can see that we've got all the different story ideas, press releases, whole array of what they might want to. We'll just go right up to the city and click on, or it says home right there on the left, and then you're back.
It looks great. So and so, what are we waiting for Billy to say?
Well, he's part of our committee, so okay. we want him to take one last look at it. I want to make sure, I want to go through one more time and make sure all the database works. I've signed off on all the design and all the, you know, what you've just seen today. It's just a matter before we turn that, you know, we switch over with a pretty good existing site. It's not like we're desperate to get this on. I mean, we want to get it going, but so I would think within, by the end of the, you know, certainly by the weekend, we should be ready to go live.
One question, John, mm-hmm. on the lodging. When you click on that, how does that come up? Does it give you the opportunity to go for amenities also?
If you want to click on lodging, up at the top bar.
Yes, there.
We're there.
Oh, I'm sorry. And so if you want to search, you can type in what you're looking for, whether it be keywords like, you know, rooms.
Okay, let's say
view.
I wanted to have a pet friendly. Let's say
right. And actually, if you go... Well, if you go down to the where it says that right there, see if there's a pets allowed.
Okay, there you go. That's good.
So then it lists the hotels that
give
you pets.
That's good.
And what we did this last effort was we asked everyone to give us their updated information, all the different hotels. One of the things we found was giving them the opportunity to go in and change their copy, and their prices really didn't work. And I won't say who did this, but there were some that wanted to try to cheat the system and put things in bold, and it just worked out better that we continue to police it. Leave it at that.
I think there are places that, I mean, and the, I think the good thing was that you were able to monitor that and say, no, that isn't going to work.
Right.
And that's the whole idea behind having, you know, I mean, it's one thing to have the mechanism to take the load off of us for you guys for, or the committee for revamping and updating things, because you can, the member can do it himself. However, you have to have that, you know, that upper, mm-hmm. you know, monitor.
But that gives you a pretty good picture of it. And I think once it goes live, I invite you all to, you know, go on the, you know, on the site and take a look at it. There, you know, I wish I could say it's going to be a perfect. I mean, I hope it will be, but there may be some things that you find that we missed, or some additions or whatever. Websites, and I think I've stated this many times, it's always a work in progress. I mean, a good website's never finished, because you're always putting in new information. You're keeping it to the situation to where people who want to live vicariously in Morro Bay for a day, that are in the valley or whatever, can go to the site and still see new information. And that really is, I think, from a travels perspective, and I think why the webcam, when we get it back up and running, I think that's true for the webcam too. That's a way for people to come visit and be at their office desk or at home or wherever, and we stay in their mind, and then when they get ready to plan a trip, they come see us.
Well, good job. I think it looks terrific.
You're saying that this is going to be launched this weekend?
I believe so, yeah, unless we run into some snag, but I don't see why we would.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'll send everybody an email when we go live, just so you know. I had one other item that I wanted just to I apologize for not having more detail, but I literally just got this yesterday, and I called my rep back to ask what the price would be. But one of the things that we had talked about, and I'm proud that we were one of the first to have live video on our, or not live video, but have our DVD on our site and our commercials, more and more websites are going to go video. I mean, just with the technology being what it is, it used to be, it took so long to download, but now it's very easy with Flash, as we all know, seeing our site. I got this email from my rep at the Bakersfield, Californian, and one of them was a fairly typical opportunity where he was talking about on their weather page there's an opportunity for banner ad. Well, that's something we're all familiar with. May not be a bad idea. The other part of this, though, that I thought was real interesting, wanted to share this with you, is that they're going to be allowing TV spots to be placed on their website. So we could take our 30-second TV spot that we have and put it on BakersfieldCalifornian.com. So I'm not sure, I have to get more details on this, but he priced, said these opportunities are priced fairly low considering the exposure, so we'll have to see what the price is. But this may be something that we might want to think about, taking a little money out of, you know.
John, I would be interested to see, how many click-throughs you had to get to actually get to the spot, you know what I'm saying? Is it like 10 pages in, or
yeah,
is it
I think that'd
page
be,
or two?
Right. Yeah, I'll check all that out, and I'll have that for you for next meeting. Maybe it might even have a sample we could look at. But it's, to be honest with you, it's one attempt by newspapers to try to compete, you know, with the TV stations, because they're seeing their readership dwindle to some extent, some papers. But it's, everything is just changing. You know, it's evolving. It's amazing. I mean, monthly there's a new opportunity that's created because of the technology and because of the competition. So it may be, if it's real affordable, it might not be a bad way to try. And we can look at the YouTube as well. Those guys certainly ought to run it for free after what they sold that company for.
I was wondering if I could get a copy of our DVD.
Sure.
I have one. I just enjoy watching it.
Sure. Yeah. Does everybody want a copy?
Yeah, it'd be great.
Okay. We have 500 of them, so I can bring it the next meeting. Oh, no, not 500. We have 450.
Well, good. Yeah, I think that'd be terrific. Everybody could have one, and I know that I'm sure that there's times when, you know, we would probably use it ourselves. you know, for
that's what I'm thinking is, you know, I'm going other places for Thanksgiving and Christmas, to LA and other cities, San Francisco, to visit people. Hey, this is, oh, are you still the tourist guy there? Oh, yeah. Here, put it in and just watch. Yep. Make
and we
watch.
Certainly at the Chamber would love to, especially with the camera down, that would be a great asset to us.
Okay. That's all I had.
Great. Thank you, John. Public Relations Subcommittee report.
We did not meet last
okay.
month. Would we like to schedule one for this period between Thanksgiving and Christmas?
Sure.
Okay. Are you around after Thanksgiving? No, but I mean the week that follows Thanksgiving, that first week in December? Ed, the first week in December?
I'm going out of town this week. I'll be gone all next week. I'll be back. Yeah, the first week in December.
So after the lighted boat parade, let's say we'll set up something. All right, we'll do it by email. I'll put that here.
Great. Website subcommittee?
We did not have a meeting.
Okay, good. I'm wondering if it's okay with you if we jump from unfinished business to new business.
For the trolley, the dial-a-ride, the solid waste recycling cable franchises, so trolley is one little portion. I didn't know exactly what the committee wanted to look at or talk about today. I was only told that you were interested in talking about the trolley, so I think maybe more appropriate maybe to just turn it back over to the committee, and if there's anything in particular that you're interested in, I can go from there. I did bring a little bit of information for you, and I'll hand that out. First is just a little summary for the last couple of calendar years or the seasons that we operated from 2006 back to 2004. Provide some ridership statistics, vehicle service hours, miles, things like that. And that may be of some interest to you. I also have a copy of the brochure that we have for the trolley. This was the one for 2006 season. Unfortunately, the color printers at City Hall were not cooperating with me yesterday or today. So they're in black and white, and they're not folded, tri-folded like this. But this gives you an idea of some of the information that we have in the brochures that goes out to the public in various locations. And that changes. It may change from year to year depending on whether the council changes the fare structure, whether the route changes, or the days and hours. We had to change during the budget difficulties the city had a few years ago when there were a lot of budget cuts. The trolley is general funded, so it had to compete with all the other things like police and fire and streets. And we went from being operating 7 days a week to 4 days from Friday through Monday. So as you look through the ridership data and whatnot, you see it kind of bounces around a little bit, and that's some of the reason for that. So let me just pass this to you.
Were you able to pick that schedule back up a little bit this current fiscal year?
Unfortunately not. Because of the budget the way that it is, we have not been able to add those weekdays back in. It's something that we can look at for future years as the citywide budget gets a little more healthy. We are able to pick that up. But for the last two seasons, for 2006 and 2005, we've been on a four-day schedule.
And how fast could you respond if you were given the okay today to increase the days, the working time? How fast can you respond to that with regards to dealing with the drivers?
That process can take some time, but if we have drivers who've driven for us before, that helps out with some of that training and licensing because they're already up and running. But if not, then you have to start fresh, and that can be a process upwards of a month, probably upwards of a month or so, because we 1 to 1.5 months, because we do have to go through CHP and DMV for various licenses and certifications, and those sometimes are scheduling difficulties.
Do you have enough history to show, to look back on ridership, to know that from a I guess from a oh sure that'll teach Billy not to count that'll that would tell us that we really have kind of suffered a an amenity loss by not having the trolleys running more days a week during the season?
Well, what you would see is a ridership decrease. Obviously, if you have fewer days and fewer hours, you're not going to be able to carry as many passengers. I think what doesn't really reflect in the data that I've handed out are phone calls to the local Dial-A-Ride office with people asking questions about, is the trolley running on during the week, the middle part of the week, and making comments about how it would be nice to have it. That kind of stuff is not really reflected in the ridership numbers or the performance statistics. It's sort of this kind of side point that the dispatchers at the local office hear. But it is something that they have that has been commented once we went to the four-day-a-week service because of the budgeting issues.
So, budget aside, would you like to see the trolley get back up to, during the season to running 7 days a week?
Well, I think it would be a good thing. There may be some discussions we need to have with the project manager, who's a little more familiar with when the trolleys are utilized as far as the days and weeks. It's sometimes Thursday, Friday may be better than a Monday, Tuesday, or a Monday, Tuesday may be better than a Thursday. And we do have some information, historical information from when we were doing 7 day a week of ridership by hour and then separated by route ridership by hour. So we can see is the 5-6 o'clock hour in the evening on particular that I can at this point. If I don't have information and you'd like it, I can provide that to you at a later date.
Janine, I have a question maybe you can help me with. Could you explain to us how the advertising for the sides and the insides of the buses is sold and who is responsible for that and the techniques of how that's done?
Currently, we have a MOU or a Memorandum of Understanding with MV Transportation to this was an experimental program for 2006, and what we did was we turned it over to MV, i.e. Susan Brown over here, to go out and garner the advertisers, much as the Chamber of Commerce had done years ago when we only had one trolley. And what they do is they go out and talk to the businesses. I think probably what they first do is go back to the businesses who had the advertisements on from the previous year, give those businesses an opportunity to kind of re-up for the year if they're interested, and then that way get a picture of what may be available, and then go to other businesses and try to get those empty spaces filled.
What percentage of sellout was there? What percentage of the outside was sold and what was not sold?
I don't know. If Susan, do you have any idea? I know that not all spaces were filled.
What I was getting at. I understand that, and I see those spaces on the trolleys during the season going by, and nothing is in them, nothing. And if they can't be sold for profit or for dollars, my thinking was we could use those for events for the city, for other things that's happening in the city.
Certainly,
the promotions committee, for instance, could decide maybe if there's two empty spaces and we want to put the Bird Festival coming, or we want to put the Boat Harbor, the Lighted Boat Festival, or the Harbor Festival. Those sides and as well as the insides could be utilized, and this year they weren't.
Mm-hmm. We do have a space available on both trolleys for upcoming city events. But it lists various ones. Mm-hmm. It's not like with the Winter Bird Festival coming up, there's a special sign that's just for the Winter Bird Festival. So that is something that we can look into doing. The interior spaces have always been extremely difficult, if not impossible, to get anybody to advertise in. And we've tried various methods over the years. The drivers get asked questions all the time, where's a good place to eat? So we would go to the restaurants and say, we get asked this all the time, so here's a prime spot. You have somebody sitting in the trolley looking around, and there's an empty space right there that you could be promoting your restaurant.
Seems like it's a marketing situation, a marketing challenge, you might say.
It is, and it just unfortunately hasn't panned out for the interiors. It seems like the exteriors are more the ones that, mm-hmm. that businesses want to utilize. And so finding some creative ways to try to be able to get all the advertising spaces filled on the outside. We don't really have like a closing date, because if there's open spaces available when the trolley season starts, we don't want to say, okay, that's it, we're done for the season. We'd like to try to get those spaces filled. So we, Susan Brown's gone out afterwards and tried to still get some people to sign up. We've also offered discounts after that point, because kind of a prorated basis. So it would still be kind of enticing that maybe they couldn't afford it for the whole season, but maybe they could afford it for half the season, or they were kind of on the fence and thinking about it and they decided they wanted to try to do it. It hasn't necessarily been successful. It kind of seems like what we get by the beginning of the season is pretty much what we're going to get for the season.
That's what I would assume. My thinking was this, that if this committee knew, for instance, that there were going to be, let's say, 3 or 4 or 5 vacant spots on the bus in advance, we could then decide what events we might want to promote and what it would cost us to produce those signs.
Well, timing-wise, Ed, it's neat, because I'm going to guess the solicitations probably go out in April, mm-hmm. in March or April, because they want them up and running by Memorial Day weekend. And so that being said, it also times in well with when you think about May and you think about our fiscal year and our budget year. It's almost that while there might be a little bit of lag time, we can look at contingency funds that we might have left over, or we can plan on it for the coming fiscal year. But by the time that we get into after Memorial Day or right before, Janine and the trolley folks would definitely know how many spaces have been sold, and so therefore we would have the opportunity to, you know, to be able to come in and spend some money. The signs are relatively inexpensive to have made. So,
How does the rest of the committee feel about this type of
Can I add one thing? Because we, my company has the contract to sell ads on Santa Maria Area Transit. So, one, I know how difficult it is. it's a little different, and that serves the whole city, and you got a fleet of buses, but I can just give you an overview, and I know it's a little bit of apples and oranges, but I think in some ways it's probably pretty similar. The people that normally advertise, the biggest bulk of the advertising that's on those buses is trade. Ed's going to be very familiar with what trade is. But that's how SMAT basically gets their marketing budget. So you go to a radio station, and they put their logo, you know, do it over in the valley. But that would be one, you know, one way as well. Also, with you, it sounds like you're involved in the wastewater awareness and things like, or storm drain?
Not the stormwater and whatnot. It's okay. Solid waste side, the garbage.
Because that's
side.
The other big client of SMAT is the Public Utilities Department, because they have, like, their programs, you know, about conserving water in the summertime and storm drain pollution. They've actually become one of the bigger clients, because they have a budget, and that's a really great way for them to communicate with the residents of a city, because the trolley or buses are going all around the city, and they're a moving billboard. So that may be, you know, one aspect. It may be within the city itself to find, you know, if they're already spending money on, and I don't know what kind of budget they have, but if they're spending money on awareness, whether it be direct mail or running ads, you know, they may channel some of that money back into the trolley. Would be one way. But it's a difficult sell. What I have found, it's like pretty much anything, is to try to find one big client, one or two big clients that can take it all year, that it's not a huge amount of their budget, like, say, a bank or somebody like that, and then you're done. But to get a bunch of small people.
But that isn't what trolleys are about. Trolleys are about seeing all the different, you know, all the different kind of ads and stuff going on. They're so different than slow area transit and those kinds of things. And with that, I totally agree with you. But I, you know, I mean, to me, I do think it's a marketing thing. I do think, unfortunately, it's a door-to-door a door thing. The prices are very reasonable. They always have been.
They've not increased since 1994.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good value. It's a tremendous way to support, you know, the community that brought these trolleys to town to begin with. The one question I have is that did you have a discussion with the chamber choose to go a different direction? Because I know, well, since you've been here, you've probably had three at least different mechanisms, including yourself, trying to sell these ads. Do you have some kind of long-term commitment with the folks that are doing it now?
The MOU with MV was for it was for 1 year, so it was for the 2006 season, and then we were going to kind of see what had happened. I've not yet had an opportunity to talk with either Susan Brown with MV or the city manager about what we want to do. Slowly decreased, and then they ultimately disappeared. So we've had to replace that, or try to replace that money with that revenue that's lost with other areas. The Chamber of Commerce started to have difficulties with trying to get the advertisers signed up, trying to fill the spaces because of staffing issues. And we worked out an agreement, a kind of an MOU, same sort of thing that we've offered MV back when Kimball was here, and kind of gave it sort of free rein, so to speak. It's you know, group it with things that the chamber has, try to either, whether you want to work it for sponsorships with various other things that you're doing, but come up with some creative ways, however you want to do it. So this is the amount of spaces we have, this is the amount of revenue the city would like to see from it for us, and then we would split whatever is generated with chambers, so it kind of gave them incentive as well. It didn't work out very well. Again, it was staffing issues. There was just not enough staffing there to be able to do it. And when Kim departed from the chamber, we decided to go a different route and try it with MV. I've also done it for 1 year. It's really tough unless you have a lot of time to be able to go door to door and you happen to hit the right mix of people. It is a difficulty. Now that Peter Kandel is on board, there's like new energy with the chamber. There may be some new ideas. So, like I said, I haven't spoken with the city manager about what we want to do for 2007, but there may be opportunities to kind of resurrect that sort of idea of let's come up with something new, something creative, group it with other things, and just try to get them all sold. And get some more revenue for the trolley fund.
I do have some ideas about it. If we could meet, I'd share them with you. It's
definitely
kind of the whole concept that we have in the direction that we're going in our membership / sponsorship, and we may be able to do something in that package that we're going to be offering next fiscal year.
Yeah, I was just going to make that probably where you're going with that is that maybe package the trolley in as part of an incentive to take a higher level of sponsorship. So then, you know, you get this and this and this, and you also get, you know, a sign on the trolley.
That's right. It'd be more of a leveled membership.
With folks that in San Francisco, and when they came down, I went door to door, and I sold every ad inside and outside, because at the time we thought that the trolley concept was just incredible to have here in Morro Bay to begin with, and then of course the evolution since then is, I think there's three trolleys here, two running.
Right, we have two routes, two trolleys. The 1984 trolley that started out the original route here in 1994, we still have, and it's been refurbished a few years ago. It has a brand new engine. Pretty much everything but the transmission and the undercarriage, or actually the undercarriage is about the only thing left that isn't new now. There's in the public services parking management plan, which is kind of a process that's going on right now, they did look at the trolley and the trolley service and have some recommendations potentially for maybe changing how that service is utilized a little bit to provide opportunities for a third trolley, more frequent service along the Embarcadero and the downtown area. And it's something that will be coming up in the next month or so to take a look at. And there may also be opportunities to look at the second route, which is the north-south route going from the state park to the state park. It's an hour long right now during non-busy event type periods in which it slows down a little bit further. And are there ways to be able to shorten that so that we can get the people from the north and the south in, from the state parks into the downtown area and into the waterfront area. So there's some opportunities potentially, but it's evolved quite a bit since the first little trolley we had.
Have you been able to get any grant money over the years to help support it?
We get grant money for the purchase of the vehicles or equipment like the fare boxes that we have. Unfortunately, transit is one of those areas where grant money can only be used for capital. It's very, very rare that you see grant money used for operations. Mm-hmm. The city currently receives Transportation Development Act money from the state, and all of that is used for our local dial-a-ride service. So that's why the general fund is funding the trolley service.
I think the one benefit that the grant program did have was it allowed them to make them handicap accessible, because
just as you said, it was more of a capital to get them going, but they got their trolley through a grant. It came from Disneyland. It's one of the old trolleys from Disneyland. But the problem there is that once you get that seed money and then you run out, and you got to figure out a way to keep it going.
Sure.
So that's a challenge.
Well, I think that my philosophy has always been, from the time I've been involved with it, has always been that the business community needs to sell the ads on the trolley, because it's I really believe that it's perceived as city collecting money for city things, you know, and I don't think it wears as well on folks as if it's more of a community thing to make sure the trolleys stay here and stay viable, because it's a great attraction. And so that's why I always was hoping that selling the ads and marketing the trolley could be a chamber function. You know, it's such a natural that it's a shame that there isn't more or hasn't been more support in the past. I mean, there's those of us that, you know, year in and year out continue to do what we do as far as advertising goes, but it would be nice to see it come back again.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think it's community oriented and tourist oriented, and that's what we do.
Do we need to make a large vinyl logo that says "I love tourists" and put it on the front of the trolley? That was the thing I noticed this summer, and again, I've spoken with some of you before about this, is getting the drivers to wear the buttons, and it just seemed to be a really hit or miss kind of thing. Was there anything that I neglected in trying to? I know I brought a memo into the office and notice about it. And
they all wore the buttons.
Really? Okay. Okay.
I wanted to talk to you kind of about the scheduling. I know the Harbor Festival weekend is a hard weekend, but I had a bad experience. With my family, I'm like, we're riding the trolley, it's going to be so much fun, and we went down and waited for the trolley for 45 minutes and then decided that I needed to be at my booth and I should drive down, and I talked to several other local, you know, folks who tried to ride the trolley and had bad experiences with it as well, and we've talked a lot about trying to create a system where people are, you know, taking the train into San Luis and then maybe our bus to Morro Bay and use the trolley to get around the city while they're here for the weekend. And it just brought a lot of concerns up in me that are we bringing people here and then they're not able to find the trolley stops, and then they wait for the trolley for a long time at 10 and we're going to be there at 10:15, and to have like those actual times. And I looked at the city of San Luis because it seems to me like their trolley system really it seems like it's pretty clockwork. And their little thing says that they come every 15 to 20 minutes to the trolley stops. But what exactly does the whole route and the actual use of it, what is that structure like?
Well, one of the things I handed out was the brochure, mm-hmm. which lists the different trolley stops for the different routes. The trolley is a little bit different than your general fixed route public transit vehicle, like the regional bus that goes from Morro Bay to San Luis Obispo. The trolley has never had that set time that the trolley will be at stop number one on Shasta and Kennedy Way at this time each part of the day. There's pluses and minuses to doing that. When the trolley started out, the route one, you wanted to keep it as frequently as possible to get it around, and that's one of the things in the parking management plan that talks about breaking up, potentially breaking up Route 1 into two separate routes, one that just runs along the Embarcadero on a 15-minute schedule, one coming from the north, from the downtown area to the Embarcadero on a 15-minute schedule, so that, you know, some of the issues that you talked about is, you know, we're standing here for a Route 2 stop, which comes every hour, and not knowing exactly when that might be. So trying to address some of those issues potentially, but not necessarily tying yourself to at 10 after we're going to be here, at 15 after we're going to be here, because there's issues with fixed route, and maybe Susan can describe it a little bit better. Certain requirements, if you publish a time and you're a few minutes early, you have to wait. And then the people are sitting on the trolley going, well, why are we waiting? They don't know why we're waiting. Well, we have to wait for the published time so that if somebody did want to get onto the vehicle at that stop, they'd be able to. If you're late to a stop that's published, that also creates other problems. So the city has kept it this way of not having the specific times for the specific stops. We have had some people call about how it would be nice to have it be more like the fixed route bus. And the city's always kind of viewed it a little bit differently than the regular fixed route public transit. The Route 2 is a hard one because it is an hour long, and during a show, and then getting bused into Morro Bay, and then how do they get around town? We also have our local dial-a-ride, which operates much more frequently. It's a demand response service. It's a door-to-door service. And it's not as cute and fun necessarily as the trolley, which doesn't mean that the tourists, once they do get here, couldn't ride the trolley afterwards. But the dial-a-ride is something else to maybe consider promoting, being able to get in and around town, coming from the north end to the downtown and the waterfront area, or vice versa, that has more opportunities and is more flexible than the trolley. But it's something that's kind of a constant challenge, and how do we make these routes and these stops where it's not too long, so people are waiting and wondering, and then just doing something else, and working it that way. As far as the signage for the stops, pretty much every stop, except maybe a few, like the one out on Highway 1 at San Jacinto, because there's really no location at this point to do it, has an information kiosk. There is a big trolley stop sign that's up, and then there's information. Kind of basically a lot of this, but in a slightly different form, is in the information kiosk to let people know where the stops are for each of the routes, what's the days, the hours. Things for, like, the farmer's market, I think, is promoted in there as well. And giving that kind of information. There may be some locations that, like I mentioned, like on Highway 1 in San Jacinto, where we don't have a stop, a signage there. But most of them all have the same signage. We've been trying to do that. One of the other stops actually would be the state park in the south end of town. We asked state parks if we could place the signage like we do up at the museum. And we hadn't heard back, but we still stopped there. We still advertise it as a spot. But it would be great to have it there so that people coming into the campground see there's the trolley stop.
Well, one of the things that I noticed with the signs is obviously that they are there. The particular stop that I was at has a huge RTA sign. And so we're like, I know it's on this corner somewhere, but where? And then, like, when I actually, like, walked up and looked at the sign, I saw it. But it certainly wasn't anything that would have grab my attention, like, oh, great, there's a trolley stop right there. You know, in San Luis, they're, like, big, round, and they just have a trolley on them. So, you know, it's really, like, very well marked that this is where a trolley stop is. And
system where we have our little, I mean, once you walk up to it, then you see it. But and that may be something to get in touch with Frank Cunningham over at Public Services and walk out there and see if there's another way where can we put our trolley stop sign, which is a fairly large sign.
I need to pay attention to that because I haven't seen them.
But if you know, you notice the RTA because they do have quite a bit of signage there. Is there a way that we can incorporate the big trolley sign, because we don't have the information kiosk there. We have another little it's another little kind of kiosk that we have. It's actually the pages this size. And it has the information, but it's not readily apparent that's a trolley stop until you walk up and you're looking at the RTA material, and then you notice, oh, there's Morro Bay Trolley. So that's something I can get in touch with Frank, and maybe we can go out and try to see if there's some way we can work it out to have something there. And it's a matter of what poles are out there and sure. what's already on it.
Yeah. The other question I have for you, Janine, was we've talked about the idea of actually distributing literature in the trolleys so that maybe we could, you know, come up with like a brochure holder and actually put pieces of information in there so that when someone was exiting the trolley, they could actually take out a brochure. Is that something we could do?
What I'd need to do is go down to the maintenance yard and get the lead mechanic and go and take a look inside and see if there's anywhere in the interior where we can affix a brochure rack. What we don't want to do is just have stuff that's
right.
not attached to it that then can slide around. But we can look and see if there's a location that would work for something like that. And it's pretty easy. We have brochure racks in the Dial-A-Rides for at your service cards for rating the service. So it's something we can look into and see if we can work out a spot that is not going to interfere with the driver and what they're needing to do with the fare box, and it's not going to interfere with passengers coming in.
Right, and I don't know how the rest of the committee feels about that, but I know obviously we have created lots of fulfillment pieces, and it just seems to me like it's another step to get people to say, oh, yeah, here are all the things that I want to do, and here are all the restaurants, and, you know, actually guide them to where they're wanting to go.
So. And it is also something that could tie into the advertising spaces for the trolley,
right.
packaging something up. If you do this, you can get an advertising spot on, and if we have
something there for literature, it'd be terrific.
Sure. General nature.
Yeah, sure.
I agree with you about the advertising, though.
Or my brochures. Either one.
Thank you, Janine.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
I have one request maybe you could do, and that is I would like to see a sales packet or a rate sheet of how you go about selling the ads. Do you have
okay.
one of those?
I don't have that information with me, but I can put
sure.
that together and provide it to the committee either post this meeting or for your next meeting.
Okay, either way.
The one thing that Ed pointed to me and made a note on, but you didn't bring it up.
Oh, I forgot to do that.
Well,
yeah.
I'm going to do it for you.
Okay.
One of the things that's missing here from a tourist standpoint is a map showing the trolley routes. What words?
We used to have in the brochures last season the maps along with the individual stops written out like this. What happened in 2006 is we changed Route 2 based on comments we received from people at the state parks to where we come from the north end in State Park, and we have two transfer sites, one at City Park up on Harbor Street, the other one on Morro Bay Boulevard and Market Street. And those are transfer opportunities for Route 1, but they're also drop-off points in the downtown and towards the waterfront area. And then the trolley would travel on down to the campground in the southern end of the town and then come back. And the way it had been done originally, you would have someone from the north traveling all the way down through the south before they got to a transfer point. So they had to go ride the trolley for a long period of time. And so after talking with Susan and kind of working it out, we come from the north now, we stop at those two transfer points in the downtown and the waterfront area, then we go to the south and we come back to the transfer points. So someone coming from the south campground doesn't have to ride all the way back up to the north and then come back. And so what that created was I didn't have that on a map at the time we were starting up the service. Our North Coast Transit Plan, which is our five-year transit development plan, we're in the process of working on that. We've gotten a draft final on that. And one of the suggestions in there, it deals specifically with that issue, is creating a map that shows...
I'm so much interested in the arrows pointing on which way it goes as much as I was interested in a tourist knowing where Pacific Street is.
Right.
That was kind of more the idea. So they could plan their, you know, if they went uptown or wherever, they'd actually have a lay of the land just kind of, you know, with them. And then I was also thinking that, well, I know that the chamber just got through producing a city map, but then I thought, well, that might be too much paper to be carting around with you, you know, with trolley stop.
I think a smaller version would certainly be in order, and I don't know if that would be too difficult to create. I know if I was a tourist, I would want to know where I am in relationship to where I want to go and all the things in between, so I can stop along the way and maybe pick it up on the way. I mean, that's as simple as that, but that, it's never that simple, is it?
Great. Anything else for Janine?
No, that's it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Very informative. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Susan. Okay. Well, we're hitting the two-hour mark here, folks. What's your druthers here as far as maybe continuing some items and then taking up some important stuff as you guys? It's up to you. We've got we can bounce back to unfinished business and talk about the use of street banners, the gateway concept. Some of these, a couple of these items we've held back for you, David, because you haven't been here, and we said, what did he mean by that? So I don't know. And then, of course, we want to spend some time, and I don't know if we have enough time to actually dive into too much with a relationship issue on our new business item. But it's up to you folks and what you'd like to do.
Well, as for the gateway banner thing, and I see that it's interesting that I saw another issue that Heather raised about copywriting city logos and things like that, because if you put them up there for everyone to see, it's a related issue. This is all I found out, and I got this from Betty Winholtz, that SLOCOG has two huge grants it will be spending for gateway signs, one declaring it an All-American Highway on Highway 1 and the other for the city in San Luis. I went to the SLOCOG website. I attempted to navigate it and find where these grants were and what they were, and I couldn't. So I'm going to have to make a telephone call because it wasn't there on the web. But obviously, we're not the first and only ones. Anyway, but the thing here was, the phrase is two huge grants, so we'll just have to see what kind of money it is that they actually got to create that kind of banners. And if we are going to do something like that, then see if there's a funding vehicle. Well, I think it's sort of this whole idea of this gateway signs, they were all linked. It was, do we want some kind of visual thing for the city? And so I'll bring that up too, if there's money available.
Well, we have, obviously, and we talked about this, you know, we have Harbor Festival banners that the city puts up. We have the Christmas banners that are probably, or holiday banners that are probably about to go up fairly soon. And I know that those are the two, you know, big type of things that we already have and ready to go. So, yeah, what's that look for?
I know Bob Hendricks said last time that he thought he could go down and talk to maybe the people who actually put the banners up, and they might know, because we were trying to get a list of the banners the city actually had that they put up. But, you know, I think the concept was, David, that you were interested in seeing if we could get gateway banners.
Yeah, declaring, making Moral Bay as an announcement, just declaring it the gateway to the Central Coast or the Highway 1 or whatever it is that would make it distinctive, and maybe use the ability to declare it as such as a public relations gimmick or tool or strategy.
Gimmick.
Well, you know, I mean, like you said, with the SLOCOG thing, with the declaring this an All-American Highway and what the signage, and I don't know what all the, and I don't know, maybe you could go Google All-American Highway and see what the whole program's about, but you know, Morro Bay, I'm guessing they're talking about the stretch starting in San Luis Obispo is where the declaration point was. So how far does that go? Does it go all the way to Monterey? Does it keep going beyond Monterey? But if so, from south to north, we'd be the first community outside of San Luis Obispo, as long as you don't include the men's colony, that, you know, we would be the gateway.
That's what I'm thinking. So we are the gateway to Highway 1 on the coast. At least you could say coastal Highway 1. It wouldn't be inland. And how to use that to our advantage. So I will, yes, I will call SLOCOG. I will find out where their mechanism is for doing this, and I'll have that for the next.
Would it be okay then? Maybe we could have Bridget combine these two items together, and if you would, Bridget, and just kind of make a slash gateway after the, you know, or slash banners, however you'd like to do it.
Gateway banner signage concept.
I did, by the way, force myself to meet the president of Amtrak. I know we you mentioned earlier the thing about the, you know, from my, here's a picture of the Tehachapi Loop. This is where I spent Election Day watching the trains go by. And I read on my train website. He was on his phone a few minutes ago, waited, and finally train was like, you know, going to leave. And I said, he goes, all right, upstairs, bedroom E. Don't tell him you found out. And upstairs, I said, hi, welcome to San Luis Obispo, David Weissman, Morro Bay Community Person. You know, just, and I gave him the whole thing about our road to rail program. I said, here's a button, and I pinned a button on him. And, you know, how much of it will stick, I don't know. But I did tell him it would be nice if we had reliable daytime train service. And one thing that seems to be happening is by next summer that we will have a daytime-only train between here and back from San Francisco. And it won't be a train that goes to Oakland. It'll be a train that actually starts in downtown San Francisco at 4th and Townsend Street. And it would leave there in the morning and get here by the afternoon. And likewise, our train would leave here at, you know, 1 in the afternoon and get to San Francisco by 6 at night.
So what are they going
to
call it? Is it a different train?
The Daylight. See, we have the Coast Starlight,
Starlight
now, but this would actually be the original Daylight. And in fact, part of the way they know this might happen is because the two daytime trains now, all the other Amtrak trains have numbers like 774 and 775, but these trains are 798 and 799, and if anyone knows railroad history, 98 and 99 were the original numbers for the Coast Daylight. So this would be an added thing to know that, you know, for the Bay Area people, again, you would be able to actually get here on a train that wouldn't be 11 hours late because it would be starting that morning in San Francisco or starting here at 1 in the afternoon, and it wouldn't be a train that would be delayed for hours from Seattle. And he said that was a possibility.
So, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Consideration of museum co-use.
Again, that was just one I tossed out, and I think it got kicked upstairs. Where that goes next is really to the city council, because that's they look at land and planning and usage, and so that's what I did. I photocopied it, and I gave it out among the city council, because it should really go into their ideas for planning and zoning issues. It just that it could benefit tourism is great, but it's not ours to do. It's the city to legislate.
Okay. So I guess so that item's okay. We're done with that.
It's done. We'll follow up.
Okay, great. Let's jump into new business, and item B is the discussion of relationship between the city, the chamber, and the visitor center.
Ed, did you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I thought you did.
What I was trying to get at, and a number of people have asked me about this, is just the flow of responsibility from the city to the Chamber of Commerce.
And while it's gotten a little convoluted over the years in your finance report, the reimbursables have always consisted of that we would, the promotions committee would, because we're using the chamber, the visitor center, to help us, that we would reimburse them for the 800 number. We would reimburse them for the postage for mailing ad responses. We would reimburse them for what used to be we wrote the checks, the promotions, or the city would write the checks for trade shows, booth space. However, it got over the years to be so much more convenient for the chamber itself to write those checks, get the mailings so it wouldn't end up at mm-hmm. City Hall. It would end up, you know, one spot year in and year out. And so reimburse them for trade show expense and as a whole, and that expense would include a subsistence mm-hmm. to going to the trade shows, the cost of the transportation to the trade shows, and the actual cost of the booth space at the trade show. That was only at the time. That is exactly the sole okay. amount of the reimbursables.
What does the monthly check that the city gives to the Chamber of Commerce for the running of the visitor center include then? You get a check every month from the city of Morro Bay on a contract basis. Right? You have a contract
that's
with the
right.
city to run
that's
the
right.
visitor center. What yeah. does that money
I can break it down for you when we get back to the chamber. You'll see exactly how it's broken down in our financial report. But basically, it's to run the visitor center.
And it's nothing to do with fulfillment then, or any of those things, because you said that's what the reimbursables are for. See, what I'm trying to see is a chart, you know, of all of this, of how this goes, and no one seems to be able to explain.
Well, if you think about it, it isn't as simple as just, well, give me a chart, because of the fact that which piece of paper do I how deep into this chart do you want to see? In other words, you have a chart, as you know, would have something at the top. Well, in our case, in the Chamber's case, there's two things at the top, funding-wise. Mm-hmm. Actually, three things, because they got their own membership on top of it all.
Right. Which is separate from our situation. But the combining of the two separated.
Well, the
it's
thing
not the same. We're not overlapping.
But the thing is that when the Chamber submits, or when the Visitor Center submits a bill to the city for reimbursement, it is itemized and I know Bob goes through those things himself and scrutinizes each individual bill to make sure that it complies with what the intentions were of the promotions committee. So you don't see, I don't know that the promotions committee, except for maybe on a rare occasion, has ever reimbursed the chamber for something that wasn't on the list, unless they've come and asked about, you know, when we paid money to help clean up around the billboard. We've done that before. There's been some other issues that the visitor center has come to us seeking reimbursement for specific items. But as far as the contract to run the visitor center, number one, I don't know why that isn't really any of the promotions committee's business in some respects as a committee. That's my feeling on it.
I thought, Ed, that for some reason, I've always thought that the visitor center running was tied in with the promotions committee. And now you're saying, and this makes total sense, that basically the city said, we want our visitor center, and who can we contract with to run it? And they've contracted with the Chamber of Commerce to run it. But that has absolutely nothing to do with the promotions committee. Right.
Well, see, I don't see it that way. I see it as a marriage. I think there is a lot of things that the promotions committee should be aware of that the visitor centers does. If that's the case, then why do we require members of the promotions committee to spend 4 hours a year, whatever the requirement was down there? That shouldn't be a part of the requirement then. There is a marriage and there is a relationship between the promotions committee and the visitor center, a very strong one. And there's a contract between the city and the promotions and the Chamber of Commerce to run a visitor center of which we look at. And so the city spends money every month, and I'm just asking what that money buys us. Does that money give us?
Well, Ed, there's two different things. There's the contractual arrangement, and then there's the relationship. And I think that they're two separate. To me, they're two separate things. I don't think that the promotions committee's job is to be down there making sure that staff is on time every day at the thing. But that's part of the contract with the city. The city needs to
the following. That's all I'm asking for, to see what that money is spent for.
And Peter just said, here it is. He's willing to say here is that list. I mean, it's
okay,
no big deal.
Well, that's all I'm asking for.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think that's a that's not a big deal as far as I thought.
I still think there is a strong relationship between
sure
the promotions committee and the.
I agree with you 1,000,000%.
Yeah, yep. Whatever you need, Ed, just come on. Actually, okay. We'll see you today.
And maybe you could put down. Maybe you could bring that to our next meeting, just so a little informational deal for everybody. Just say, hey, here's a typical, you know, I know staffing is involved, rent's involved, utilities are involved. You know, I'm sure the city didn't buy the webcam, you know, or whatever. I mean, there's...
Sure. Yeah, not a problem. Yeah.
A lot of printing.
What's that?
A lot of printing.
Lots of printing. Yeah,
with that monstrosity there.
Oh, gosh, 500,000 copies. Yeah, we go through a lot.
Okay, what else? Did we get you? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I just have one comment, David, and where's your button?
Yeah.
Okay. I just, yeah.
Here's my
pop.
into the front of my bicycle.
Real quick, we had a Wall. Is there any? Can we kind of forego the discussion of new ideas this month and kind of forward that, keep it going for next month, time wise? Or
I think Heather, you wanted the logo on the agenda. Talk to Scott. Logo discussion.
I do want the logo on the discussion, and I did bring some stuff that I would love to just show real quick since
sure.
I have it here.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
You want to formally, with regards to future agenda items, you want to go ahead and put that on there?
With
regards to discussion of the logo?
Of the logo, yeah.
Okay.
As many of you may or may not know, several years ago, Danny Tope embarked on an effort to revamp all of the kind of directional signage within the city. And I was very pleased to listen to a presentation that Bruce Ambo gave about the directional signage actually taking place, and have talked to him about the idea of coming and giving a formal presentation to the promotions committee about it at some point. However, one of the things that occurred to me is that all of these new signs have a wonderful, or next, but I did want to show it to everybody, so there it is.
I think what I'll do for the next meeting is I'll bring the logos that we're currently using. We have really pretty much one, but they're over the years there's been a variety, so I'll try to come up with a couple of different ones. But I think it's a good idea to come up with one central logo and probably have it copywritten too.
Mm-hmm. Aren't there currently new signs going up in the city with logos on them, new logos?
What there is going on right now, and it isn't a done deal yet, but there is already funding available, is there's three types of signs that are involved with the new signage program. One of those, we have gateway signs, not to be confused with the All-American Highway signs, different gateway, but the gateway signs, entrance signs, and directional signs within the city. All of them will be composed of material, which is incredible. But it's also, in talking with Bruce, it's also, this stuff is $80 a square foot. And so you surely don't want to make a mistake in what you direct people to because of the cost, but you can look at, they're almost bulletproof. That project has been funded. However, part of the holdback is with Caltrans, and Caltrans has actually the gateway signage program, which specifically on the cover of the brochure that Caltrans printed for promoting this new idea was to allow gateway signages in the state right away. Well, but now all of a sudden, when we've got these signs designed to go in the Caltrans state right away, we have the local Caltrans agent saying, oh no, you can't put signs in the right away. So here you have it's contrary to what their own program is, and so I know Bruce is fighting with that to be able to move forward. The other thing he needs to do, he needs to go back to council again. He was planning on doing that either this coming month, relatively either this month or next month, to make sure that what they wanted on the signs before they're done. And he's also, because of the order that has to be placed, it's a lot of money, it's already funded and in the books, so that part's not an issue. But the other problem is that he didn't, because of the cost, he didn't want to have to order certain signs and then turn around 2 months later and order more soft ramp signs. And Neil went around, did some digital photography, got on Photoshop and said, you know, here it says Morro Bay Boulevard exit. Well, how about if it said this? And so he did a little, you know, a little playing with different ideas, like Embarcadero with an arrow and those kinds of things that would actually attract a tourist off the highway to come and see how to get around and see the things we've got. 2 weeks ago, Bruce Ambo and I met with Caltrans. We went to San Luis Obispo and met with Caltrans and heard every reason in the world why we can't do anything. So Bruce and I left rather frustrated. And so to that end, about 4 days ago, I got a hold of Sam Blakesley's office. And as we've all known, some things run downhill. And so rather than trying to go this way, we're going to go this way. And Blakeslee's office was called me back yesterday, and so we're in contact with each other, and I'm keeping Bruce apprised of what's going on. But I can tell you that from talking to other members, I know Mayor Peters and Kathy Novak, and some of those folks have said that when they got the lights up at Yerba Buena, when they've had all the different things with Caltrans, they just went right to our state representatives and said, okay, you know, rather than messing around, you know, here locally. So that's what we're doing with this. I've been advised that that's the way to go. I've got the blessing of Bruce Ambo to do it because he's frustrated too. So I'm thinking that if we can come to a meeting of the minds on what those freeway signs should say, I took some pictures as an example. How is it that the animal shelter has its own freeway sign and we can't have one that says Morro Rock? How is it Achievement House has its own freeway sign and we can't have one that says Embarcadero or Waterfront? So it's definitely some double standard stuff going on, and I don't know if it's maybe just people don't want to mess with it. So that kind of fills you in on the freeway stuff and the signage, and I imagine within the next 2-3 months we're going to see a lot of activity.
As far as the logos go, has that logo been approved by the city to use within the city on the signs?
Yes.
So that logo we're married to right now?
Yeah.
So
no. This isn't?
Uh-uh.
Oh.
Within the city, though, I mean.
No.
No, we're not married.
Are they?
No.
When is the approval process going to be?
Well, I don't know. Do you okay, well, it wasn't on last Monday night's agenda, but I know Bruce was talking.
I'll go back to my office, check my agenda planning guide, and email everybody to let them know when that might be going
okay.
to council.
Oh, great.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I think what happened was, and if you were to look through this binder, you would see a lot of different signage ideas, location, where they'd go. And so from talking to Bruce, this was an idea that the council liked. But until he goes back, I'm going to guess, as the bureaucracy would work, he would go back with one final deal, and then the city would council would put their stamp of approval on the whole thing. So if there's a change, and Bruce is open, you know, he wants to make sure this is all done, you know, whatever. So, you know, he's been to the forum, he's presented it there, trying to get some input on things. So if anybody's got other ideas, and if we do too, we could sure get those mm-hmm. to Bruce, because we sure want to do this, you know, right, and so does he. So,
well, it just, like, you know, the whole, I just thought it was, you know, my whole thing is about the logo, but I just thought that it was pretty cool that they have a neat logo, and if we are going to be developing a logo that we want to use on all of our marketing material, that it would be an obvious link to have them be the same in my mind. And, you know, I mean, John, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because it is true, obviously, that maybe a signage logo isn't appropriate for print advertising, or, I mean, how do you feel about that?
Well, I think that's one of the marks of a good logo, is that it does work on everything.
Right,
and
that's
it can go anywhere from, you know, letterhead up to a billboard.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to be involved in the process as your marketing, you know, design firm to share in that with and work with everybody. But I think it starts with just showing you what we're at right now. I mean, if you recall, when we just took down the old billboard, I mean, that had a whole different font on it. One I didn't really, you know, care for now because it was so thin. But I think it's important to pick a good one, and I think it is important to continue it throughout all the efforts. So it should be one that has multiple uses and one that we all love.
Bob told us last month that the city actually has a couple of different logos mm-hmm. that it uses mm-hmm. For its official stuff. You know, I don't know if that's something that we want to dabble in, but it, I mean, you know, you're growing this picture a lot. You know, you're actually bringing in, you know, wanting to you know, do we just let the city continue to use its official, you know, they've got their stamp, their seal, which they have right there. Bob showed us that last month. And then they have their letterhead deal, which is different than this, which is different than...
Right.
Again, what I would recommend, and it's not very costly, and probably our city attorney could do this for us, but is copyright, not only copyright the logo that we pick, but copyright Discover Your Better Nature, because you could send both those in at the same time.
That wouldn't be I think so much a copyright, it would be a trademark perhaps,
right,
or service mark, SM.
Right. Right. Yeah, you'd want a trademark, correct.
I was just looking to see in my stuff if I had, might have had a formal letter from, or something from the city that showed the logo that they use on their letterhead here, but we can bring that.
I would have to say that the logo that we use on our letterhead and business cards are close to what is on the front of the binder right now.
That's what I thought, too. It is fairly close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got the rock.
It's slightly more abstract. The new one is slightly less abstract.
So, anyway, I made a note here to also see if we can't come up with I'll try to get up to City Hall and grab some couple pieces of paper just so next month we can review the whole logo thing. I'll also talk to Bruce and we'll find out from Bridget just where we're sitting. There you go. There's the logo.
Oh, right.
Good job, Bill. So we can maybe take a look at what, you know, what else and then what John brings and that and kind of.
That's a different, you know, font than that.
Maybe have a meeting of the minds, and then if it's something different, then, or maybe we like this, that we can send our blessings or, you know, ideas back to Bruce. Great. Okay. Anything else? Future agenda items? Pretty much got it covered, I think. Motion to adjourn?
You should mention the new billboard.
Oh, why don't you do that?
Everybody needs to go out and look at our new billboard. It was put up
a couple days ago, yeah.
A couple days ago. Looks great. Needs to have some brush cut away from it.
Bill, what is your current, you've changed your website, your email address, because
I hate to say it, R. Buffy.
Okay, so literally RBUFF
at sbcglobal.net.
Yeah, because all my emails are bouncing back. I emailed the committee yesterday. Needs a crew. I'm pretty much guessing that with the right equipment, it's going to take like four or five guys the better part of a day to. But I mean, even me, I drove up with my camera, and at 65 going, don't run off the road, I was clicking pictures because I want to see the before and after differences. But most of the problem is right on the highway. It's the brush that's growing right up on next to the road. So that's pretty fun up there with your clippers while the trucks are zooming by. But
that is your job, right?
Evidently. Okay. So can we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Yes, seconded.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Great. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a good turkey.